Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies, to this return edition of the Big Puzzle. I'm Barry Prince, coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia through the facilities of People's Internet Radio. Thank you to People's Internet Radio for providing this platform for me, and thank you to my producer, Steve Roberts, for taking his time out to produce my shows. As you guys know, I've been away for about 10 weeks now. I was tromping through the bush, chasing mushrooms, and gotta say it was one of the best mushroom seasons I've ever had in my life. I feel guilty because I was away from the battle here for 10 weeks, but it's a stance I took in my life 3 years ago that I walked away from my $150,000 a year job because I don't want to support my government in any shape or form, so I'm trying to live the life of a free man on the land. And harvesting mushrooms gives me that opportunity because everything we make out there is cash money. I get to do the pines here in another 3 weeks. So mushroom season this year has been very good. And it looks like it's going to be another good pine season. And after that, I'll be back full time, spending all my time on the internet and doing stuff I have to do. But this is something I have to do every year to make a living. All that being said, today I have a great guest in, a gentleman I've had many, many conversations for and have a great deal of respect for. And he's going to bring me up a little bit on what's been going on down that country south of me called the United States of America. Right. Welcome to the show, Roger, and thanks for dropping in today, buddy.
Well, you said you've been out in the wild chasing bush. What did you say?
Chasing mushrooms, buddy.
Okay.
I've been walking through forest fires. I've been walking through big forests picking morel mushrooms. It's a tough job because it's hot. We're carrying 30 or 40 pounds of mushrooms on our back. We're getting absolutely bombarded by mosquitoes. I'm talking 15, 20,000 mosquitoes at a time coming at you. But you know what? I wouldn't trade it for the world. I got the camp on a lake, and I've set up a meshing over my window so I could leave my window down at night. And there was loons on this lake, and all night, every
wait a minute,
night,
I was not there.
I was listening to loons looning all night long, Roger. So if you wonder why I'm a little loony, that's why. But I'll tell you, what a great experience. But let's get into the meat of it. I don't want to talk about mushrooms because if I do, I'll get talking for an hour. We only got an hour.
Well, the thing of it is, this is a gee, how have you been, Barry discussion, right? So with everybody finding out a little bit more about what Barry's been doing and why Barry's been doing it, including Roger. But for everybody listening, I had the good grace of an occasional message or even a phone call from the bush by Barry. So we do know that he's doing well, and we're just glad to have you back. But you want to talk about what's making the world go around.
I want to go back to the bush.
Yeah, let's start it all off by saying that I am or will be 64 years old next Sunday, exactly 1 week from today, and I can honestly tell everybody who's listening that I look at things from a slightly different perspective than your average citizen. I'm not claiming to be smarter than anybody else. I'm not claiming to be stupider than anybody else or more ignorant, although I was. What I am telling people is that for almost 30 years of my life, I worked within that system. I worked for the military-industrial complex. I actually reported to the DOD every single day for everything I did across the entire planet. So I see things in a slightly different perspective. I have over 1.5 million air miles, and I spent probably 60 to 70% of every year for about 20 years out of the country. So when I finally woke up and looked around, things really, really shook me up. But Barry, what have you missed? Let me put it to you this way. If you would have told me when I was a young buck, okay, in the United States of America, growing up, a baby boomer generation, that I would live to see the political and tyrannical representation of we the people in this country today, I would have told you, well, there weren't a lot of people smoking pot that I knew of back then, but I would have said pass it anyway because it's got to be good. Mm. We're looking at a situation right now where we have a deep state that is paralyzing a lot of what the government can do. We have a deep state right now that is absolutely cutting off at the pass a lot of things that this president is trying to do, whether it is negotiating with North Korea, whether it is talking to Putin. Boy, I got to tell you something, Barry. If you missed anything in the last 10 days, well, it's got to be the huge hubbub about Putin and Trump. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we have a president that is talking to a Russian president, well, that's got to be high treason, except that Reagan did it, except that, and I could go on and on and on. Anybody who is stupid enough today to believe that two of the largest opposing powers on the planet, and each of them having the ability to destroy the planet many, many times over, it's not a good thing for our presidents to be talking. Have Republicans become that evil and Democrats become that righteous that they can tell us that the president of the United States and the president of the Russian Federation getting together to avoid hostilities and extremely expensive military massive buildups is treasonous? That's what you've been missing, Barry. Aren't you glad you were out in the bush?
Yeah, I kind of am following that a little bit myself, Roger, and it's just absolute—it's lunacy. It's beyond anything I ever thought I would see in my lifetime. And I'll reiterate on your words. I mean, it just seems like the left is right out of control right now. I listen to people like Nancy Pelosi, and what she brought out. I look at all the different aspects of what the left is doing right now, and they're really ramping up the battle, buddy.
Let's talk about Strzok. Let's talk about Orr. Let's talk about, I don't know, I could go on and on and on. Strzok. Let's
Peter
talk about
Strzok. Let's talk about anybody.
Let's talk about Comey. Let's talk about Rosenstein. Let's talk about Sessions. Let's talk about, there has never been, when I remember Watergate, that was huge. And that was a president who was involved in one case of wiretapping. Mm-hmm. Okay. If the only thing we were facing today was whether or not the Trump team have been wiretapped, then I would not have the fear for this country that I do, because that's one thing. The second thing is the FBI and the DOJ planting spies in the Trump, you know, he's running for president. They've got spies in his organization. Okay. Again, totally unconstitutional, totally illegal. All right. Let's go from one to the next and the next. Okay. Let's talk about, the ability to destroy, okay, equipment that has been subpoenaed by the Department of Justice or the FBI, literally destroying it and telling them it was destroyed, as the Clintons did. If I just listed all of the things we would have, and I think the last time I did a show with somebody, we talked about this, there's like 68 high crimes, 68 high crimes at this point. Tell me there's not a coup going on against Trump. Now, I don't give a shit whether you like Trump or not. I don't really give a damn. I'm going to tell you right now, the Liberty Beacon Project are not Trump butt buddies. We're not. And we have quite a few websites, and we've got our own online TV network and the whole nine yards. When he does right, we tell people he's doing right. When he screws up, he tells people what we tell people he's screwing up, because we are what is left, okay, left of the fourth branch. And back when our Constitution was signed, the fourth branch was the press, and their job was to hold the people's representatives accountable to the people. That's why they're called the fourth branch. Today, they don't exist, unless you talk about people like you and me and the Liberty Beacon Project, Barry.
Yeah, you know, we're dealing with the same stuff in Canada. Our CDC is such a controlled entity. And, you know, one of the conversations I have with people, and believe me, people are now really starting to become receptive to conversation. I've noticed that lately, Roger, that people really are starting to pay a little bit of attention to what's going on because of things going on in Canada. But our CBC in Canada is such a controlled entity.
You've got a soy boy president, or what is he, prime minister?
I'm going to try. I'm going to talk about, I'm going to go into Trudeau next hour, okay?
Okay.
So I'm saving it for that, because I don't want to get into Trudeau right now, because it really gets my blood pressure
up. Okay, it might be too much, huh?
a little bit too much right this second, okay?
I said but, too much, as in Trudeau. Okay, go ahead. So, all right, look. Look, you've got, there are things that are happening in the United States, and it's not all bad. I need to tell you that. about, okay? There is somebody who went into office, and again, not being Trump butt buddies, when he does something wrong, look at the Liberty Beacon. We tell the world. But when he does something right, we tell the world. Why? Because that's our job, and he's our president. And his actions mean more to us than any single individual in this country and probably on this planet. All right, if you take a look at some of the things that are being done and how much more could actually be done, this guy has managed to accomplish more in less than 2 years than most presidents have. Well, some of them haven't even ever achieved that much. We're talking about GDP. We're talking about unemployment. He's done all this in less than 2 years. Where's his credit? You see nothing in the mainstream media. Again, not being a Trump butt buddy, but the point is, if you've got a president that is doing good things for the country, it is the press's job. It is their task. It's what they exist for, to allow the people to understand that. 96% of the news in this country is still anti-Trump. And when I say news, I'm talking mainstream media. So you're constantly being told he's screwing up, screwing up, screwing up. But the reality is, and a lot of people know this, Barry, and a lot more people are learning it daily, the reality is he's accomplished more in 2 years than most presidents ever did or never did.
I'll trade you Trudeau for a Trump any day of the week. And I'm not a Trump supporter, Roger. I agree with you. Trump has done a lot of good things for the United States of America, but I'm very, very standoffish about any politician, because he'd be in the back pocket.
He never would have won. Didn't win that election by doing things the way everybody else does, because he never would have won. Okay.
Well, it's almost too good to be true, some of the things this guy is doing.
And he's done some fucked up things.
That's okay. We'll bleep that one out. Okay. He's done some pretty crazy stuff, and he's done some stuff that I really, really like. So yes. I'm going to just be standoffish about it all, Roger, and watch it unfold.
Because to me,
I know you do. And well, we're having the same problems up here right now. We're fighting for the future of this country, and people don't realize what we're up against in Ottawa, how our government's been completely taken over, and is going on in our country is just mind-boggling. I'm going to get into that in the next hour with a gentleman named Duke Willis. He's a Canadian activist, and we had a couple conversations, and we're going to have a good one today about Trudeau. But we'll leave Trudeau for the next hour. But it's the same agenda being played out. No matter where you look in the world today, Roger, we're seeing the exact same agenda being played out. Different players, different situations, but the exact same agenda.
The only thing is, okay, and got to remember, I spent a lot of my adult life traveling around the world. If you go to Germany, okay, today, and most people wouldn't consider this, all right, and ask them who is the first person that comes to your mind when you think of famous people in the world today, right? Mm-hmm. You'd be amazed how many would say Trump. Go to England, ask the same question. Go to Canada, ask the same question. Go to Mexico, I don't care whether it's for good or bad, ask the same question. The influence that this individual has on the planet today ain't what they want you to think. The reason why they are trying so hard to constantly knock this man down is they know exactly what he can accomplish unhindered. So what we're looking at and what we're seeing is a very, very small percentage of what could be happening, whether it's good or bad. Again, I'm telling you, that influence is there. Go to New Zealand. Go to Australia. Ask them that question. See how many people say Trump. Instantly, they don't even think about it, okay? This guy has the ability to either drain the swamp, as he said he was going to do, or lead us into tyranny like the freaking Pied Piper never could. This is the position Trump holds right now. And the position of the Liberty Beacon is, when he does something good, you tell the people. When he does something bad, you tell the people. And if you see a pattern being established, then you push the panic button and you scream it to the people. Right now, we got no reason to hit a panic button. But there are times when we hit the "I'm really obnoxious" button. Yeah.
The universal ID that's being brought into the United States of America is being supported by the Trump government. That yep. disturbs me.
Yep.
That disturbs me greatly because I've read into it and looked into the implications, Roger, and it's just one more step to complete control of society.
There's a rumor, and you know how much in America we fight for our guns. The most heavily armed society in the history of humanity is the American population, with well over, some would estimate, 500 million guns in private hands. Mm-hmm. Okay? But there is a rumor out there, which I will absolutely blow a gasket at, that Trump may be willing to back the UN policies for disarmament of civilian populations. That will not go over in this country. You want to know the quickest way in this country to some sort of a civil war, and how violent or nonviolent it is, I can't even guess at this point. Tell everybody, you turn your guns in or you're going to jail. No questions, no arguments. That's just the way it's going to be. Watch what happens in America.
Well, the same thing will happen if you impeach a duly elected president with a majority vote. And it's under some guys. I mean, I read yeah. this morning about what's going on, how they're attacking him, how they're going to try to impeach him, how they're trying to trick him into perjury, blah, 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 yep. blah, blah. I've been really studying a little bit of Peter
Strzok. He's a stable genius.
Yeah. Well, you know,
he is, actually.
I'm going to make it quite clear. I'm not a Trump supporter.
But I'm not a
gotta
Trump, call, but
you got to call out what you see.
Right.
And if you can vet what you're seeing as being the truth, which, you know, now it's very easy to do because you can go to government documents. You can go and see the evidence and the proof for yourself. You yep. don't have to take what any mainstream media tells you. Anybody that listens
to Wait a minute. You're going to bleep out my F word and you can say mainstream media and that's not going to get bleeped out? Holy crap, Barry.
Okay. Bleep that out. Okay. The enemy of the people. Let's call them that because that's what they are. You got to call it what it is. And I don't care who you side with, whose political party you side with, what you think about what's going on in the United States of America is. The bottom line is the press is the enemy of the people because they are so leaning one direction right now. It boggles my mind. And the people, well, you know what? Just take a look at CNN's ratings here in the last couple of months, Roger. That's kind of cool.
Look, the president's press director, okay, she refused five times to tell CNN's Acosta that the press was not enemy of the people. Just tell us that. Tell the whole, just, you got to tell everybody, Dan. She refused to tell them. She didn't say they were, but she sure as hell didn't say they weren't.
Exactly. You read that press release on Monsanto in court, eh? I'm sure that's brought to your attention already.
I've already published an article on that on the Liberty Beacon.
Well, okay.
$289 million award.
And that was one of the best things I've read this week, Roger. I mean, that's going to take the lid off the genie bottle.
Well, they're going to appeal it. I don't think they're going to win. I think the judge's decision is on very solid ground. But his doctors told him, okay, when this all started, that they were very, very sure he wouldn't live to see the verdict.
Right.
When you see the images of this guy, either in my article or by going anywhere on the internet and typing that in, you will see him looking up at the sky, and the look in his eyes is both eerie and priceless.
Well, there's 4,000 litigations now in court against Monsanto. So if anything, my friend,
against
this is
Bayer.
Against Bayer, who now owns Monsanto. Okay.
Who paid $60 billion for what could be the biggest money sieve on the planet soon. I love it. Oh, God, I love it. This is what I call justice.
Talking about shooting yourself in the foot. Anyways, that was, it is definitely going to bring, you know, it is a precedent setting in court and all these other court. Yeah, of course. And all these other litigations that are now being filed against Monsanto. This is also going to inspire thousands of more litigations to come forward. So
well,
hopefully,
it will,
hopefully, or Bayer, I should say.
Let's see if they, which for $300 million, you've got to almost guarantee that they're going to appeal this. But let's see what happens, because if this goes through a second or maybe even a third tier, if this goes to the Supreme Court, Okay. I can't see them losing this case because as the judge stated, okay, the evidence is conclusive. It's not mm-hmm. inconclusive. It's conclusive. When a judge says that, that's it. You know, bend over, grab your ankles and kiss your goodbye.
Exactly. You wrote an article there a while ago. I don't know how long ago it was, Roger, on the effects of glyphosate on our biosphere. Can you touch on that just for a minute?
Glyphosate is probably one of the most evil, one of the most evil chemicals, and it's a biochemical because it's bioengineered. It's not genetically modified; it's genetically engineered. Okay, right. And so what they've done is they've produced a chemical which they initially started advertising is something that could kill just about any weed known to mankind with zero harm to human physiology. That's how they marketed this. What we have come to find out is that it can be associated with ADHD, it can be associated with autism, it can be associated with cancer, it can be associated with liver disease, it can be associated with infertility, it can be associated with, and I can go on and on. And this is not a guess. What we're seeing in this court case is reality for the first time in a very long time. It's right. Like it's been swimming 6 feet under the water, so you really see, oh, you saw this little motion under the water, but you really didn't know what it was, and then now it's popping its head up. Okay, glyphosate has, I don't know how many cases have been filed against it, but it's a crap load. And judges have been paid off and laws have been passed. Let me explain something to you. There's a residual glyphosate on the food you buy and eat. A mm-hmm. lot of the produce, stuff that's grown in the field, they use the glyphosate to control the weeds. Mm-hmm. There is a residual amount that government says, okay, you can have on your food after it's supposedly washed and sold to you. Anything above that is a toxic level and cannot be exceeded. What they didn't know when they started to put glyphosate on all of these fields was that it was going to build up an immunity in the weeds generation to generation, so that each progressive generation, you needed to increase the amount of glyphosate to get the exact same result. Exactly. Some farmers, after 5 or 6 or 10 tiers, are putting a hell of a lot of glyphosate on. And the thing of it is, there's no way in hell that their food now can meet the government guidelines. So what did the U.S. government do? I'm going to tell you what they did. They doubled the allowable residual glyphosate in the food you eat. All stop. Okay. The first limit they produced, they stated clearly, unequivocally, and without guesstimation that this was the highest level the body could tolerate without it being a dangerously toxic level. And then they doubled it and they said, oh, this is the level that the body can take with no new information, no new studies, no new data to do anything. The reason they did this is because the farmers who you have these factory farms and have these huge, you know, 500,000, a million acre farms, and they use massive amounts of chemicals because it increases their yield. At least they believe it does. It doesn't, but that's another show. And they use massive amounts of herbicides. Like, guess what? Glyphosate. So now they're in a position where they, a majority of these massive farmers cannot sell their food because all of their food would be outside the limit set by the government for glyphosate.
Right.
Barry, that's the country I live in. What they did was they saved the glyphosate sales to the farmers by saving the farmers at the expense of everybody, especially the more vulnerable children that are going to eat that food.
And of course, there's no accumulative effect of glyphosate in the body. Yeah.
Oh, yes, there is.
I'm being facetious right now.
I was kind of hoping you. Yeah, well, either that or you've been out in the bush too long.
No, I say, of course, I'm being facetious right now. It's like any chemical, man. They all have accumulative effects in your body. We could talk about fluoride.
Okay, but hold on, because that's not quite true. That isn't quite true, but you're making a really good point, and you just set me up for the next point here, okay? I'm going to tell you right now that we have aluminum raining down on us from geoengineering, nano-sized particles of aluminum. We breathe it and the whole nine yards. Okay. We have fluoride in a massive amount of the water we drink, especially in cities or urban areas in both Canada and the United States. We are exposed to massive amounts of pharmaceutical drugs at a level that is absolutely insane, but the drug companies are making a lot of money. Okay, glyphosate in the food we eat, GMOs themselves, vaccines with aluminum and mercury. Now, let's talk about toxicity. We need to talk about toxicity, because if we don't, none of this, you're only getting 50% of the bang for the buck. We talk about toxicity. We talk about each and every one of these things I mentioned, whether it was the mercury, the aluminum, the glyphosate, each and every one of them has a negative impact up to and including, with enough exposure, probably death. Mm-hmm. Each and every one of them can do this with enough exposure. But the thing of it is, the body doesn't usually get a lot of it all at once so that you die in like a week or two. It may happen over 30, 40, 50 years as it accumulates in the body. So each and every one of these has a toxic level. Each and every one of them, a toxic level. We'll call it level X. Now, if you add mercury and fluoride together, do you get 1 + 1 = 2? No. And this is what nobody talks about and what nobody understands. When you add the two of those together, it's not additive. They come out in multiples that are mind-bending. It could be as much as 1,000 or 10,000 times the effect by combining the two of them. Now imagine living in a society where every day you're exposed to mercury, to aluminum, you're exposed to fluoride, you're exposed to, can I go on for everything I've already mentioned? Because we are exposed to these on a daily, if not at least a weekly basis throughout our entire lives. Canada and the United States are now the sickest people on the planet. We are the most chronically ill nations on the planet, and we are the most heavily exposed to everything I just described. But your doctor will tell you mercury's not that bad, and by itself and in the absolute micro amounts, it probably isn't. He's probably going to tell you that fluoride's not that bad.
Roger. We spend 10 times as much on healthcare as the next closest nation on the earth. How can we be the sickest people in the world? That doesn't make any sense.
Yes, it absolutely does. All right. Hey, look, why? Sorry, I have spent, you took a little air out of my tire there, and it was probably a good thing it did.
Sorry,
if you stop to consider, okay, the amount of money that is being spent, not so much of that, that's going to shift, okay, because we're going away from the Obamacare communist style, and it's going to go back to a little bit more of a, you know, capitalist system, a little bit more free trade, you know, you offer a low enough price, you're going to bring more people, blah, blah, competition. So yes, we do, as a society, and I'm talking about us and our brothers and sisters to the north, as a society, we spend a massive amount on healthcare. The thing of it is, a lot of that is not spent directly by you and me. We don't spend, yes, we do because of Obamacare, but before Obamacare and now after Obamacare, it's actually not bad to pay for healthcare in this country if you are middle-class American with a decent job. It's not, okay? Again, you've got to push Obamacare aside, all right, and not talk about it and its after effects, because that's being pushed back very quickly. It's called competition. So we're looking at all of this money being spent. Who's it going to? Who's it going to, and why do we say we're spending 10 times more? It's not what you and I are putting in. It's what our governments are putting in. Mm-hmm. It's what our companies are putting in. Our companies have to pay a portion of every one of those plans. The government has to cover everybody that can't be covered and give subsidies to those who can't really afford everything they need and blah, blah, blah. So the biggest sieve into these companies, and for the foreseeable future, because that's the way the Western world works, the biggest sieve into those into those funds are the companies who own this government. That's where your money's going. And the government is paying them a lot more than what you and I are paying for healthcare.
Big Pharma rules the world, buddy.
Big Pharma spends, every time you say something, it's like an explosion goes off in my head. Big Pharma literally. Okay. And I never say anything that I don't want people to challenge. As a matter of fact, I don't challenge you to prove me wrong. I dare you to prove me wrong. But there were times when the disparity between the pharmaceutical cabal and the next biggest, which is the military industrial complex cabal, the difference between the two of them at sometimes has been as wide as 500%, which means that the pharmaceutical industry as a whole was spending five times as much as the military industrial complex wooing, buying, bribing, and owning not only our representatives, but representatives and leaders across the planet.
Right.
So maybe you gotta shut up because you just start me all over again.
Well, you know, everything you're talking about, Roger, I've looked at myself in great detail, and I understand how the whole system is set up and how the American people are taking it up the butt and how the wealth distribution is going on in this country. And, you know, one of the stats I just read, maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, but one of the stats that I just read, and I'm trying to vet that information really accurately, is that drug interaction now is directly said to be the third biggest killer of people in America. Am I correct in saying that?
I don't know if it's the third, but I can definitely tell you that, especially with the opioid epidemic that's going on in Canada as well as the United States, and all of the other additions into that equation, it's in the top five. There's no way in hell it's not. Okay. And again, why do we have a statistic like this at this point? Why are we looking at so many people ODing on opioids today? Why? Because they're being made readily available by guess who? The pharmaceutical companies. And would you believe me if I told you that a big ass percentage of that number, a big ass percentage of that number, are legally prescribed doctors?
Being opiates available to children now? I mean, it's gone beyond
lunacy. Almost 20% of our children.
Well, you know, we could ask ourselves the same question. Why is Gardasil still being put on the market when it's absolutely directly related to how many deaths now and how many just people being destroyed by Gardasil, yet you can still get it now at the doctor's office? I mean, it's just money, man. It's all numbers. They pay you off. We could talk about the Vaccine Injury Compensation Board. I talk about that with people, and they've never even heard of it.
I don't know much about vaccines.
No, Roger, actually, if I want to know anything about vaccines, you're kind of my go-to guy. So to say you don't know anything about funny right now, guys.
I need to bring, every time, again, the explosion went off in my head, let me leave everybody with a lasting impression, okay? The CDC says that every year, 30,000 cases of vaccine injury are reported. Mm-hmm. But they also state, and they took it down after I put an article up on this, but I have screenshots of the CDC site before they took it down, okay? They also, all right, so... all right, how much time do we got left? Because
sorry, go ahead. You bleeped out over there, Roger.
Well, as far as the CDC goes, okay, there has never been, stop and think about this, people. There has never been a study done on the effectiveness or the ineffectiveness of vaccines in the United States. The study has never been done by the government. It has never been done. Although I would probably tell you that it has been, but the information just was hidden, just like the Dr. Thompson study. But let me explain something to you. If 30,000 people report vaccine injuries each year, and the CDC stepped up to say, but that might only be 1 to 10% of the actual cases of vaccine. This was the CDC that said that. So I wrote an article about this, and in this I state, if the CDC's information is correct, and they're saying that 30,000 people have reported vaccine injury each year, but that may be as little as 1%, their own words, they said 1 to 10%, then we're not talking about 30,000 or 300,000. We're talking about 3 million cases, and only 25% of the population gets vaccinated each year, but 3 million cases of damage. Now, let me take this one step further. I'm almost done, Barry, okay? vaccines have been given for about 100 years in one form or another across this planet, with the biggest focus being in the United States of America. If you stop to consider 3 million deaths a year in the United States, take that over just the last two generations, 40 or 50 years, multiply that times the population of the planet, and what you find out, listen to me, because I don't lie, is that vaccines could very well be the most destructive medical procedure to humanity ever to have been invented. I dare anybody to prove me wrong, and Barry will tell you, this is what I focus on. Mm-hmm. I have a vaccine-injured daughter who's luckily 42 years old today.
So how do we get people to wake up, Roger?
I mean, we do Barry's show.
I know. And, you know, it drives me nuts, buddy. I see children being injured all the time through vaccines. It's happening every day. We see the vaccine programs for children being ramped up. I mean, we look at studies on all diseases in children right now, and they're just going right through the roof.
I can prove to you beyond a shadow of a doubt that parents are being told, let's talk about stupidity. Parents are being told that they should keep their children, their vaccinated children, away from unvaccinated children because they may be dangerous to their children. Now, let's stop and think about logic for a second. I have children who have supposedly been vaccinated against all of these childhood diseases. But I have a kid who lives across the street who hasn't been vaccinated, so my kids can't play with your kids because even though I'm vaccinated, I might get it from you. So what you're trying to tell me is these vaccines don't work. Stay away from kids that are infected.
The lunacy
it's
of it.
Sheer stupidity. But I have literally talked to women in the community and said, do you vaccinate? Yep. Why? And basically what it boils down to, if you combine their entire statement into one sentence, is, oh, those dirty, unvaccinated children, keep them away.
Boy, I'll tell you, people, all you have to do is take the insert out of any vaccine, take it home, punch up those ingredients. No, Roger, really, you know, I say to people, Roger, let me just finish what I'm going to say here. I say to people, look at, children don't have a say in what's being put into their bodies. You are the caregiver. You are the provider for that children. You're responsible for what happens to them. If you don't have time to go home, you're going to put a vaccine in your child. If you don't have time to go home, take the insert, get it from the doctor, whoever's going to put that vaccine in that child, get that insert, take it home. You can go on the internet, folks, and you can punch up every ingredient out of every vaccine on the market in 2017 in 2 minutes on the internet. You don't have to take the insert out of the bottle. I'm using that as an example, Roger, but you can go on the internet and punch up every ingredient, every vaccine, cross-reference that in your computer, start looking at what they're putting into your child's body, then ask yourself, do you want to put that in your child's body? And if you have any kind of common sense, you'd say, no, we didn't get vaccinated for everything in the earth when I was a child. I had measles, I had mumps, I had chicken pox, Roger, but that built up
probably why you're so healthy.
Let's
go back, because you gave me one of those head exploding moments again. All right, you've got a mother who walks into her doctor and says, I would like to know what's in that vaccine before you put that needle into my child. And doctor just smiles and walks into the back room and gets the insert and brings it out and hands it to the mother. And the print is so damn small, it's physically impossible for her to read it. Now look around. There's no magnifying glass. There's no nothing anywhere in that room. So the mother, not wanting to appear to be stupid, usually ends up by relenting. Okay, but let me explain to you one of the biggest lies out there, and I'll prove it to you at the same time. Okay, the CDC clearly states that vaccines cannot, will not, and never have produced autism. Okay, the big pharma cabal states openly vaccines cannot, will not, and never have caused autism, except that six of those vaccines you get when you go to the Liberty Beacon or someplace else and look up these inserts where the print's big enough for you to read, on six of them, one of the side effects is autism. Right on the the freaking damn. Oh, God, Barry.
I'm laughing because it drives me nuts, Roger. It really does, that people don't take the time to read what's on the insert. Oh, and that's all you have to do.
It's also telling you that the government, that we're the agency we're paying between $4 and $6 billion a year to protect us to, is in the back pocket of Big Pharma and blatantly lying to us and causing our children to spend a life of sickness or die early. Here's another scary fact for everybody listening. And again, I don't challenge you to prove this wrong. I dare you to. 54% of all of our children born today, all of them, 54%, better than half of them, will be chronically ill for life. That's the generation we live in. Here's one more scary fact for you. And this is a big one. The last generation born today, and this is by researchers, the last generation born today is the first generation to have a shorter lifespan than their parents. Did you ever think you would hear someone say that to you? Either one of those two things. They're both true.
I know. Sometimes I'm just overwhelmed, Roger, with thoughts about, you know, what is it going to take for the human race to wake up? Why are we in this paradigm that we're in right now? Why are people so easily controlled and manipulated by the big pharma industry? I mean, really, I don't have an education. I never went to university, but common sense tells me that I've got to be on guard against anything that could possibly harm my child. And if there's any kind of controversy on an issue like vaccine, which is one of the most controversial issues in our society today, then I would be doing my research. I'd make sure that I had a proper judgment in my own mind as to what I was doing to my child. It's going to take people themselves standing up against this, because it's just being ramped up past the point of no return. We're going to have a bunch of vegetables in 10 years.
I do agree. And it all goes back to what we pretty much started, or in the very early portion of this conversation, when we talked about all of these things and their toxicity. Okay. Each one by themselves can probably be tolerated for 20, 30, 40, 50 years before the body finally gives up. But you start putting them all in together, and all of a sudden you end up with the effects not being additive, but being
multiplied.
We're talking magnitudes, more effect on the body. Then I come and I tell everybody that 54% of all of our children born today will live with some sort of a chronic disability for their entire life. That's better than half people. And then I tell everybody that our children today, the last children born, will be the first to have a shorter lifespan. Let me ask you a question, okay? And I'm going to explain one more thing. In 2014, which is the last time this was reported, the United States had a 314,000 birth deficit. Stop and consider everything I've told you. Stop and consider none of this is unproven. Stop and consider all of it is promoted and in some cases even mandated by our governments. And then look at, and this is how I'll start winding down here, and then look at the Georgia Guidestones, where they say keep the human population at 500 million in harmony with the planet. Okay, there's 7.5 billion of us. If we have an all-out nuclear war to kill off 7 billion of us, the other 500 million are going to live in a nuclear sewer pit for the next 10,000 years. Can't have that. So what can we do? How about we take all of these poisons that the government has sponsored in one way or another, that most people in the Western world, especially in the United States and Canada, are consuming in massive amounts on a regular basis, and let's watch their fertility drop off to the point where we are almost at the point where we're going to start going into negative population. If you think none of this is intentional, then answer me a question, everybody listening right now. Why is it that you've got to listen to a show like Barry's, where Barry and I are telling you these things? Why? Why isn't there a massive government program out there to make sure that 54% of all of our children born are not going to suffer for life? That's better than half. Do you hear anything about it? Where's the big push to get rid of autism? And 30 years ago, autism was 1 in 30,000. Today, it's 1 in 25. Listen to what I just said. In 10 years, autism will be so bad in Canada and the United States that 1 out of every 2 children born will be mentally crippled for life.
The effect on our society. Oh man, the effect on our society. If people really could grasp the effect that's going to have on our society, on our social programs, on every. I know it's all being done by design, Roger. I understand that. I just can't understand why a lot of people just are they scared? Is it fear? Is it just has it been dumbed down to the point where they don't care anymore? I ask these questions of myself. I ask these questions of myself every day of the week. It's in our face, folks. It's this, you know, what Roger, these facts that Roger are presenting to you today, you know, I've known Roger now for 5 years and, you know, he's made statements like this to me before. And you know what? I've gone out and vetted his statements. You know, I did, Roger, when you told me, because I want to make sure that we're not putting bull crap out in front of people. It's one of the most important things that we can do is not present false information. Yes. We're just sitting here pouring our hearts out, telling you that, look, this is real. This is what's happening. These are the numbers. This is where we're going. What are we going to do about it? Are you going to sit on your computer and send links around? We can't. We're not at that point, Roger. We got to get off our butts and get busy, my friend. That means actively involved in any means, shape, or form. Go ahead, buddy.
I'm so pissed off
about what we're talking about. It just riles me right up. I want to scream, but that's not going to work. So
you mean like I do?
Well, yeah, but I can understand where your frustration comes from. And these
you've got to consider, and all right, you wanted me to talk a little bit about the Liberty Beacon Project, and we're closing down here. So let me give you a little bit and tell you how all of this ties together. And a lot of this Barry knows because Barry's followed us through a majority of the life of this project, which was founded 9 years ago as a Facebook group of 350 people. Today, we have a dozen proprietary sites, 21 global partner sites, an online TV network, and several other projects that are still in the box but being worked on. The Liberty Beacon Project, the first thing people say to me is, okay, so you've got this big global project and somebody's supporting you, so who do you take your marching orders from? At which point, I've got this big smile on my face because that is always inevitable from any real person out there searching for real news. He wants to know your credentials. And what do I tell him? I tell him that, yes, we are the largest totally unfunded independent media source on the planet. Not one penny comes in from outside sources. If we need software, we pass the hat. We get software. If we need this, we get this. If we need that, we get that. This is how we survive. We survive by making sure we have what we need to get the word to you. So when we tell people, we don't challenge you to prove us wrong. We dare you to prove us wrong. What we're really saying is, here's an invite. I'm putting out the welcome mat. Step on board. See what the Liberty Beacon has to offer. We have been working on this for 9 years. Yes, it's global. We have a website in Paris, actually, a website in the UK. We have a website, and it's on hold right now, but not for much longer, in Canada, and I could go on and on. We have a website for, things like vaccines and GMOs and fluoride. And so it is an all-encompassing project. If it is harming humanity, that is something we're going to be discussing. And let me finish off with, what is the mission statement of the Liberty Beacon Project? Anybody who has a mission statement, it's usually a small book, at least 300 or 400 words, okay? You have to get an idea across, and it's hard to do it in just a couple words unless you have our mission statement. The entire mission statement is in one short sentence, and it says more than 1,000 words. Our mission statement is the eradication of programmed ignorance. That's what we do.
And we have been programmed to be ignorant, folks. Mind control at its finest. There's so many things we could talk about today, Roger. I wanted to get into a few other conversations with you, but we're going to get down to the end of the show here.
We can come back.
Well, I'm going to have you back here in the very near future, and we'll look forward to doing more things with the Liberty Beacon here in the near future.
Well, one last thing, because you just made another point. If you stop to consider how much the masses are propagandized, all you have to do is go back to William Casey talking to the president in 1983, stating, "We will know our program of disinformation has succeeded when everything the American people believe is false." That is a matter of record. That was said.
Well, we're going to be doing a TV show on your network here in the future, Roger, and I'm going to be focusing, you know, I do focus a lot of my attention on solutions. And
we would love to see you there.
That's where my focus is going to be, because you know what, this political stuff, it boggles my mind. I have to pay attention to it and I have to keep on top of it.
But and you got to pick mushrooms.
It brings my heart up when I talk solutions and things that we can do to really undermine the forces that are at work in our society. And that might sound like a broad statement, but I've never said anything more true in my life. So I look forward to doing some shows on cannabis.
I've never heard you talking about broads.
Anyways, folks, we're down to the last 5 minutes here, and then we're 4 minutes, and we'll be on a break for about 6 minutes. I have a Canadian activist, Duke Willis, a gentleman I just met here on the internet, Roger, and you'd love this guy because he really shoots from the hip, and we're going to get into a conversation about the going-ons in our Canadian government here in the second hour. oh, man, I'll tell you.
Does Trudeau know how to tap dance? I'm just curious.
Oh, yeah, he's good at it, man.
I knew it.
Oh, put a skirt on him, put in a pride parade, and he'll tap dance you to hell. Anyways, okay. Roger, one more input. Sure. What are your thoughts, real quick? We got about 3 minutes here. I am going to get to you to finish up the show today with your thoughts on radical Islam. Something we'll touch on in the next hour? Go ahead.
I know. And I need to tell everybody something, okay? Religion is the most dangerous invention humanity's mind has ever come up with. Religion is the most successful fashion to control mankind's mind that has ever been developed by mankind's mind. Whether it's Catholicism, which has changed so many times throughout the years, whether it's Judaism, whether it's Zionism, which isn't actually a religion, but kind of a phosphoration off of Judaism, whether it doesn't matter what it is, it's Islam, okay? When we talk about the evil passages, all right, in the Quran, if you talk to people in Afghanistan or you talk to people in other Muslim, predominant Muslim countries, they tell you that the interpretation we have is not their interpretation. Jihad is basically, it's an inner struggle to make yourself better. It's not a holy war to go out and kill non-believers. All right. So do I believe that there is such a thing as radicalism? Absolutely. But I'm going to tell you something that may surprise you coming from my mouth. I would tell you a vast majority of that is paid for. And things that never would have happened had they not been drugged, mind controlled, or paid. So radical Islam, in my mind, is a whole different thing. Are there radicalized Islamics? Yes, there are. Do they commit terror? Yes, they do. Is there a lot more behind that that we're not supposed to know? Yes, there is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't hate Muslims. What I do hate are those who commit evil in Muslims' names.
Okay, well, that was an interesting thought, Roger, and I want to thank you for joining me today, and we'll do this again very, very near future, I'm sure. One last thought before you go, and then I'm going to take a break for a couple minutes because the coffee's going through me, and I'm sitting here swimming.
I enjoyed myself. I always do when I get a chance to talk to you because you allow me to say the things that are on my mind and I'm not constantly being poked or prodded in one direction or another. It's a very comfortable hour.
Well, thank you, sir, for joining me. And with that, Steve, if you take me out for about 5 or 6 minutes right now, we'll have Duke Willis in for the second hour. Hang around, folks. This guy's pretty interesting, and we're going to be talking about our gracious leader. Well, welcome back, guys, the second hour of the Big Puzzle. Before I get my second guest in here, I'd like to mention to the people listening that we are a viewer-funded station, and any donations to the station would be muchly appreciated. If you like what they're doing here and some of the programs they're running, I urge you to reach into your pocket and throw a couple bucks at the station. All that being said, my second hour here, I'm joined by Duke Willis now. I just met Duke here this week, and we had a couple conversations. And we seem to hit it off really well on a lot of our common thoughts about what's going on inside our Canadian government right now and our thoughts on Trudeau and how we see things unraveling in Canada. Welcome to the show, Duke.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Yeah, so hey, let's start with your number one peeve right now with Justin Trudeau. Now, I know there's about 50 of them that I could mention, but What's your number one? Yeah, no, we got lots to talk about. What's your number one peeve?
The fact that he is just like his father, whose legacy can be boiled down to two simple words. Watch me.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. He's doing a much better job than his dad did.
It doesn't matter what we, the people, want. It doesn't matter what even anyone with an ounce of common sense knows is the right thing. This man continues to act as a traitor to the people and the country of Canada. Dot, period, end of sentence.
I've never seen a bigger example of dictatorship in a Canadian government in my life. This, like you said, we don't, unfortunately in Canada, we don't have the mechanisms in place right now in our government, in our parliament, and through our legislation that we can actually hold this guy accountable. He can basically do whatever he wants. And okay, for this is the first time in my life that I'm really, really in fear for the future of this country. And I'm really trying to get Canadians to wake up, and I know you are too, my friend.
Well, what you see with Justin Trudeau is the result of something that began in Canada in 1792. People think Canada started in 1867. But our form of government, what we see both as a federal government and provincial legislatures, and I will use Ontario as an example because it's where things started and it is a prime example. Our government was never founded as an entity created by the people in a format or style developed by the people in order to serve the people. If you look at the U.S. Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, they define the government as being responsibly held within specific laws, and that the people have ultimate power. In Canada, the ultimate power resides with an unelected, appointed, single individual. That started in 1792 with Lieutenant Governor John Graves Simcoe in the little town that is now known as Niagara-on-the-Lake.
Right.
That's where the very first British Parliament was founded. And under the instructions of the British government, not a Canadian government, not the Canadian people, a foreign government issued a law that said Lieutenant Governor John Graves Simcoe is the ultimate, supreme, unquestionable head of the government as Lieutenant Governor. Under him are 9 appointed representatives, known as the Legislative Council. Today, that is represented by our appointed ministers. When's the last time you got as a voter to decide that Mr. So-and-so, who happens to have a background in finance, is the best guy to be Minister of Finance for the province of BC? You people don't get to decide that. Why? Because of what happened in 1792, where it says this legislative council is appointed, not elected. Then the government went on one step down to 11 members elected from the public. So think of it more as a corporate structure within a company. The employees are represented by 11 elected representatives who go and speak to an appointed council and raise their issues. The council decides which of those issues it wants to deal with and takes them to the lieutenant governor, who on his own makes an arbitrary decision. Kind of like the CEO in a large corporation. The employees have no input as to what the board of directors talk about. They're just cogs in the machine turning the wheels.
Yeah, henceforth, we now have 11 ministers sitting in our parliament that have direct ties to Muslim terrorist organizations or involved with organizations like the Muslim Brotherhood of America, et cetera, et cetera. I don't have the list in front of me, but you know who I'm talking about.
That's a whole other issue relating to the current situation, political situation on a worldwide level. I was referring, of course, or trying to refer to the basic structural format of our government. It's right. Not designed to represent the people. It's designed to control the people. And ever right. Since Queen Victoria died in 1901, it hasn't been a legitimate government anyhow. They're basically
just setting an example for what the government does. I mean, we didn't have a voice in these people being appointed. If it was put into a public referendum and people got to actually see who was being elected to the government or being appointed to the government, you'd hear a public outcry. But of course, this system is set up so well that voice is quashed. Mm-hmm. It's trying to make Duke. I mean, I see what's going on inside of government. The whole system is got to be revamped. Unless we revamp the system, it'll never, ever work for the people, ever.
The problem is, a friend of mine is in the construction industry, and just yesterday, or maybe it was the day before, I was talking to him, and I said, if a house is built on a faulty foundation, and the 2x4s that are used to make studs in the walls are really only 2x2s, can you come up, and when you buy this house in its in a used condition, the roof is leaking. Can you come and put a new roof on it without worrying about all the other problems underneath the roof? Is the house going to be okay just because you put a new roof on it? And he said, no, it has to come down and from the foundation be rebuilt. And I said, our government is the same way. We can't fix what is there. We must completely disassemble it and rebuild it in a true democratic free society format, not a dictatorial format.
I almost lean towards a Republican type of system where you have representation from not one person running this country, but we have 10 or 12 or 20 people representing the country countrywide, and those people are the people that elect our representatives. So you have a voice being heard from the people, but of course that's not what we have right now.
No.
I've thought about that quite a bit, and, you know, really putting an idea out in front of the public that really would resonate with people might be something that people are ready for at this point, because we know the system isn't going to work for us. We know the system's broken.
Right. So I personally am a big fan of the original American concept of a republic government. My big change that I would make would be to abolish parties. And candidates, there'd be no more of this Doug Ford all across the province. There's no, like, I know for a fact, I can guarantee you, if we were to sit down or even stand up and walk around and go door to door and ask voters, did you vote PC because you like the candidate, or did you vote PC because you wanted Doug Ford to get elected? And I guarantee you, most of the PC voters here in Ontario will tell you, I don't care who's here locally, I wanted Ford as premier. And that's why they voted PC, not because the candidate was a worthy representative of them. So that's the problem with party politics. And then the party has total control. And the party isn't controlled by the elected representatives. The party is controlled by suits and ties who sit in a boardroom in Toronto.
So let's put a new system in place, Duke. Let's throw a few ideas around the Republican system in the United States of America. I studied the start of that, and that kind of resonates with me in a lot of ways. But there's got to be a happy medium, something in between that we could put in front of the Canadian people that might resonate with them. I look at parties like the Libertarian. I listen to all political parties. I listen to the National Citizens Alliance. I listen to the Libertarian Party talk. A lot of good ideas. If we could come up with something that would resonate with everybody, we might get somewhere. But one of the biggest problems we have with that is multiculturalism in Canada now. That's one of the biggest problems we have. Okay. That's what I see in our ability to get people to come together.
You can't have a national identity if you don't recognize promote and endorse that national identity. And multiculturalism is great. Concept of multiculturalism is great, except when the host culture is to a, its own culture in order to falsely respect incoming other cultures. If you're a guest in someone's home, you don't put your feet on the coffee table with your shoes on. You wouldn't want a stranger coming or a guest coming into your home and doing that in your home. Don't do it in somebody else's. The same thing applies with coming to another country. You want to come to Canada, come and become Canadian. Dot, period, end of sentence.
Exactly. You know, immigration at one time in Canada, if you were immigrating to Canada, you came to Canada with the understanding that there wasn't going to be a handout there the day that you arrived in the country, that you better bring a skill, you better be ready to go to work. But you wanted to do that because you saw what was going on in this country and you knew it was a good place to live. But there was no government handouts. Now we have the complete reversal of that. And one must ask himself, what are the underlying forces? What's really going on in our country right now? Pretty scary stuff going on in this country right now. And
well, you want to know the underlying forces here in Canada? All you've got to do is look at the exposed forces that are doing the same thing in other parts of the world.
Exactly.
We know who's pushing mass immigration from Africa into Italy and southern parts of Europe, Spain. We know who's doing that. The UN and its New World Order.
Exactly. And we see the same thing being played out in Canada right now. I say to people, man, if you're not paying attention to what's going on in Europe right now, then you're really doing yourself a disfavor. Because really, you only have to look at what's going on in Europe and countries like Germany and France and England right now with the problems they're having with immigration. I said, I don't have anything against immigration. If somebody wants to come to Canada, be a good Canadian, abide by our laws, assimilate to our society, and be a contributing member to this country that is a great country, I have no problem with that at all. But that's not what we see now. We see mass immigration. We see 95% unemployment with immigrants that have been in the country for 2 years. We just see such an abuse of our borders. We see unvetted people.
And we see ideologies that by their own confession are, and I quote, not compatible with democracy, end quote.
Exactly, exactly. So why aren't we marching in the
streets? Why are we welcoming them into a democratic society? Hello?
Well, yeah. Does that make any sense to anybody out there? Does that make sense to anybody? Nothing this government is doing right now is beneficial to Canada, folks. Nothing. There nothing. Is nothing that he is doing right now. And I defy anybody out there that if there happens to be somebody out there that actually thinks that Justin Trudeau is a good guy and he's doing good things for this country, I would love you to point out one real hardcore thing that he's done for Canada since he's become our prime minister. I can't
and
find
don't
a single
be fooled, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Scheer is no different. Mr. Scheer has jello for a spine.
Yep. But he's the new white knight in shiny armor that's going to come in. So
to quote
party
Jerry
on the
Garcia,
left, party on the left. It's your turn now there, Mr. Scheer. I've had my 4 years.
Well, okay. For those of you who think the conservatives are going to save us, it was Harper who started letting ISIS fighters return to Canada before Trudeau was ever elected. Don't ever forget that. The PCs are just as crooked as the Liberals.
Exactly. You've got party on the left, party on the right, folks. Nothing ever, ever changes. Like you said, Duke, until the whole thing is torn down and structured properly so that we actually do have a society that functions and serves the people, we're just going to continue to spiral downwards. I see Canada in 5 years from now with the amount of immigration levels that the immigration minister is talking about. And that guy just drives me absolutely crazy. I have a hard time listening to him. I have a hard time listening to Trudeau without getting violently ill now. But if the immigration levels are pulled off that they're talking about, this country is really in big trouble.
It won't last that long. It won't last that long.
I hope you're right.
One of two things will happen. Sorry, I'm still trying to chow down on this burger. it's dinner time here in Ontario.
And Duke just walked in.
Things are going to happen, okay? And none of us control the timeline on this. the timeline on this and everything that happens within Canada and in the United States, the timeline of events, the escalation of it, there's nothing we can do to affect it. It is controlled by Islam, the Muslim Brotherhood, and UN mandates that no one ever hears about. Okay, New World Order instructions. Mm-hmm. One of two things are going to happen. And I've said the same thing about Ontario following the Doug Ford win. One of two things is going to happen after the federal election. Justin Trudeau will get reelected, and the Islamic Muslim Brotherhood will feel doubly empowered and escalate the Danforth Avenue style events, the Yonge Street van attack style events, the Edmonton police officer being run down style of events. Antifa will increase their violent level when they start meeting up with Patriot protesters. We've already seen that yesterday at a Sandra Solomon rally in Toronto. Antifa got right ugly. We're also going to see our government doing more and more and more to piss off the citizens and enhance Islam, because that's what the New World Order wants. Scenario number two, Trudeau doesn't get reelected. Scheer gets voted in, and out of pissed off anger, Islam ramps things up. And we go right into the levels of violence that we're seeing in Europe, where they've had to put up bomb-proof plating around the base of the Eiffel Tower so that people don't blow the damn thing up, okay? Last week, we had the Saudis supposedly, jokingly, posting a picture of a jumbo jet flying into the CN Tower. Ladies and gentlemen, it was only a few months, it was September of last year, it was 10 months ago, that the police busted a Muslim in Pickering, Ontario, a suburb of Toronto, with 2.1 billion lethal doses of carfentanil in his home. Gee, just happened to be the guy who was serving as a surety for the brother of the shooter on Danforth Avenue. Like, do you think this is the only household in all of Canada where this shit's going on?
Nothing to see here. It CBC says everything's fine, guys. You know, I mean, there's nothing to worry about.
The Canadian Brainwashing Corporation. I didn't believe them when I was a kid watching news about the Korean War. Why the hell would I believe anything they say now?
Well, unfortunately, you know, Duke, a percentage of our population still goes to CBC for the source of information. And the sooner we can wake them up to the fact that it is a complete controlled government entity, that you're not going to get any real information on the CBC, which they're starting to lose credibility now because of their inability to report on things that are out in the public domain. We'll see the same thing happen to CBC that we see happen to CNN in the States right now. And the sooner the better. The best thing you can do in your world is to cut the wire to the TV, man. Get rid of cable. Get rid of it. Period.
Yeah, we only have television here because I like watching Forged in Fire.
I cut the wire to the house 4 years ago.
It's also how I get my internet, and I got to do my YouTube and Facebook videos, so I got to have my high speed.
Now, you just started doing videos here a little while ago. Is that correct? I've never seen you before.
I kind of played around on it, and I found that certain topics actually get me quite a response. I think some of the best responses I've had have been when I'm really pissed off and doing a lot of cursing and swearing and pointing fingers and being agitated, but a couple of those videos have pulled upwards to 18,000 to 20,000 views. So I got thinking, well, you know, why not? And then I got looking into it, and I found a software, because it really, I'll be honest with you, Barry, I don't want to tell people what to think. I just want to make them think. I don't care if they think I'm full of shit. Go find the evidence to prove it, because I know that I've achieved what I wanted. I got your brain working.
Exactly.
Whatever outcome 100%. Or conclusion they come to, that's up to them. More friggin' power to you, dude. because you got up off your fat Canadian ass, educated yourself, and came to an informed conclusion. That's all I want people to do, because anyone that does that will see what we've been telling them.
Exactly. And I try to do the same thing myself, Duke. I just try and stimulate people to think about common sense issues that don't want to get too deep with them, but on the surface, common sense issues that are happening in Canada right now, and get their brains to actually think. And you know what? When people actually start doing, they really start to look. And I'm seeing this response now in my own community from people I'm talking with, is that when they really start looking into this, they just kind of, they're almost dumbfounded. They're at a point where they don't want to believe some of the stuff and some of the information they're finding out. We got to get over that stigma. It's time now in Canada, and I don't think we have 10 years to correct the problems we see. I think we have a very small window right now available.
Two years ago, I was telling people that we had 3 to 5 years before we had violence on the street. The violence on the street started when they attacked a policeman. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now we have it happening. There was what? Between the van attack and the Danforth, we had what? 3.5 months mm-hmm. without anything major or big happening, right? Understand there are Muslim gangs in neighborhoods in Toronto who have constant interaction with the police based on intimidation tactics, intimidating non-Muslims, right? Mm-hmm. Attacking non-Muslims. That sort of stuff, muggings, as the police call it. That sort of stuff happens all the time, and we, the people, the public, we don't hear about it. But those incidents are up 100-fold. Okay.
Well, CBC never reported on the death threats given to a reporter for the Mississauga Gazette, that if she published an article on Muslim rape gangs, that they were threatening her life, and they weren't going to publish this, but that was, information was released to the public, and now it's viral on the internet. I posted that link alone on one of my sites, and it's just going viral right now. People are going, what the heck is going on in our country? Why are we not hearing about this on CBC?
Why?
Because I get that all the time.
CBC is part of the propaganda machine controlled by the government.
Well, the more they shoot themselves in the foot, the more people are starting to wake up to it, Duke, is what I'm trying to say. And I see it now. I see people actually starting to talk about issues that are vital in our country.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I just started a new job, and I walked in, and ironically enough, the shift foreman knows me from back in the 90s when I owned a motorcycle shop. And he said, so what have you been up to lately? And I said, well, go check my name on Facebook and YouTube. About 2 hours into my first shift, he comes up to me and says, holy shit, you're down the rabbit hole.
Well, you don't have a choice, Duke. Once you've got to the surface of the rabbit hole and you see how deep it is, you're compelled to climb in there. And when you get in there, you better take a GPS with you, because you'll find another rabbit hole, and then you'll find another one. Pretty soon you'll be lost.
I am an adamant follower of Q, or as some people call him, QAnon. Mm-hmm. I follow a number. I don't try and decipher Q. I actually do the sort of periscope not periscope as in the website, but hide underwater, peek up and see what's going on. I follow a number of different people who interpret Q and sort of take a little bit of each one to decipher Q on my own. I do believe that there is credibility to the Q movement as far as the messages that are coming out of there. And is Q real? Real enough for me to want to follow it. Would I jump off a cliff because Q said there was a train coming, even though I can't see the tracks? Hell no. But I'll definitely go to the edge of the cliff and watch others do it.
Well, hey, you got to have an open mind. You got to listen to what everybody is saying. And I surf a lot of places. I listen to a lot of people talk. Doesn't mean I agree with what they're saying, but tidbits of information I get from people that I can actually vet and find out if it's true or not. To me, that's a good thing.
Yeah, like,
to listen to everybody's opinion. JFK
and his brother Bobby, if they were up against the kind of infrastructure, the AKA deep state, as it's called, if the two Kennedy brothers were up against that kind of corruption, would they find a way to use a modern communications convenience like Twitter or the internet to convey a message to people who would listen? Not a message to everyone, only to those who are willing to seek and find the message. People who consider Q to be a conspiracy theory and just a bunch of BS, they wouldn't have gone looking for him in the first place. But the way Q presented himself left him, or put him rather, right in the heart of some of the most inquisitive, thinking outside the box minds on the internet. An interesting choice if you think about it.
Yeah, I'd say. Well, like I said, I really try and listen to what everybody is saying, and lots of it I agree with and lots of it I don't. But a person really has to keep an open mind, and you really have to go looking for information in other places besides CBC.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, that's, like I said, they're the enemy of the people. They really are. And, yep. You know, I don't say that lightly.
And
I mean,
CTV, I look at what they're doing,
right? Any mainstream corporation, they're all controlled by a group of people. I forget the exact numbers.
Controlled by the CRTC, the Canadian Radical Communication Control Network.
That's a good one. I'm going to remember that. Well, what do we do, Duke? Really, what do we do to reach Canadians? Like I said, no, I said earlier in the show that multiculturalism is a problem. Well, I'm not a racist person in any shape or form. I know this country was formed on immigration, but like I said earlier in my talks, that these immigrants coming to Canada were willing to contribute to Canadian society. But what we now see is the reverse of that. So what I'm trying to figure out is a mechanism we could put in place in Canada that will rally all cultures that actually believe in Canadian values and culture. And believe it or not, some of these people that come in do want to assimilate, but we have a large group of people now coming into the country that will never assimilate to our culture. And if we don't
Barry,
go ahead.
We have the tools, the ways, and the means of implementing just those sort of conditions. It's called our standing immigration laws, up until Trudeau changed everything and decided to ignore. They haven't removed them. They've just ignored a huge portion of our immigration laws, be it the two sections that apply to leaving this country to be a terrorist and returning to this country as a terrorist.
Conveniently.
He's ignoring those as well.
Yeah, and of course the United Nations Third World Agreement that's allowing unvetted people, basically unvetted people, to flood into our country right now. What is the numbers I read? Well, some of the numbers I read were mind-boggling. 600 illegals came into Canada in one weekend over a three-day period. Boy, I'll tell you. Talking about undermining a society and our culture and our medical system and our financial systems. It's just unbelievable what's going on. And yeah, how come the RCMP aren't arresting Prime Minister Trudeau for violating our immigration laws, which are in black and white? Why is that allowed to be ignored? Why aren't we screaming about that, Duke? Because I know what they're doing, and you know it, and you brought up a good point. Why is the government allowing? Why isn't Andrew Scheer up there calling for the arrest of Justin Trudeau for treason? Hello? Did I lose you?
Yeah, he's gone.
Oh, boy. Well, I was trying to put a question through to him. Wonder why that dropped.
I don't know. He shows green. I wonder if he lost his internet again. You want to put a song on? You can try him on the phone again?
Yeah, I'll call him and see what happened to his internet. Okay, I guess we're back now, folks. Had a bit of a technical issue. We lost Duke, but he's back. And we only got about 18 minutes left in the show, but we're going to touch on what's going on with Canada and Saudi Arabia now. in the last couple of weeks, and what's exactly what the impact is going to be on the Canadian economy to our oil. What are your thoughts on that, Duke? And where do we go from here?
Okay, first of all, you have to keep in mind the Canadian government is not putting Canada first. The people of Canada are a pain in the ass to the Canadian government, have been ever since Trudeau Sr., okay? So this whole Saudi thing is really a fart in a windstorm, right? Like, normally Saudi Arabia would look at any other country and go, really? You want to try and tell us what to do? Shut up. Mm-hmm. But with Canada, they've gone off the deep end as if we raped the daughter of the king of Saudi Arabia. Okay? They've gone off the deep end over what was just a stupid comment. Right? Why? Because Saudi Arabia can shut off the one thing that probably, safe to say, at least 80 to 90% of the Canadian population needs. Gasoline. People in Toronto and downtown Vancouver, they're like, I don't need a car. I got public transit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you dumbass, but 99% of the population in this country doesn't have access to public transit. It just does not exist, okay? We can't survive without a car and without gasoline. So we have to buy whatever comes available at whatever price it's at. And why is Trudeau doing that? Because one of the eight rules of creating a communist empire is to destroy the economy. Well, how do you destroy a free society's economy? By destroying the workers. If people can't even afford to drive back and forth to work each week because fuel is so expensive, they're not going to go to work. They won't be able to. How will people commute from St. Catharines an hour and a half to Toronto every day, each way, to get from home to work? They won't be able to. That's just another way of destroying the culture by destroying the society.
Of course.
That's why he was so happy when the pipeline didn't get built, because it means Canada doesn't have an out to utilize its own natural resources.
We could be energy self-sufficient, and people don't realize that we're buying and importing Saudi oil that there is no environmental restrictions put on. We are taking oil in Canada and putting such environmental restrictions on it that they're no longer able to function, forcing us to go to Saudi for dirty oil. Everything this government has done since they've come to power is designed to destroy our economy. We're really going to start to see the trickle-down effects in our society.
Did you see the article in the paper? I forget which. I think it was in – it might have been in the Globe or in the Star, a big write-up about how Saudi Arabia won't be buying Canadian wheat. Well, who the hell cares? Saudi Arabia owns controlling shares of the Canadian wheat board. That's who's going to take a hit, is the wheat board.
Exactly.
Okay? And Saudi Arabia owns controlling shares of it. So yep. If Saudi Arabia doesn't buy wheat from itself, who the hell do we care?
Exactly. Who cares? Who cares?
And since when did our government get permission from the people to sell the controlling agency of the natural resource of Canada's wheat production? Since when did our government get the right to do that?
When did they get the right to sell our country to China? Who gave them permission to do that? Yeah. I mean, we have a prime example of that right here in my town, man, where they sold thousands of acres of prime forest around our airport, which used to be a beautiful place to fly into. You see beautiful green forest all around the airport. Welcome to beautiful, supernatural British Columbia. And now you see a parking lot, thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of cubic board feet of good lumber in stacks ready to be burnt. Yet our city council now wants to stop the use of wood stoves because of carbon going into our air. Yet they burn these stacks, and there's 378 of them, Duke, that used to be a beautiful forest, have now been torn down and are stacked ready to burn so the Chinese can build a aluminum plant in the terrace area. talking about. And did this ever go up? Who gave them the right to do this? Now we're going to lambaste them on this one, Duke.
Here's something to think about. When Islam starts a civil war in North America, and when I say that, I mean the U.S. and Canada, because it'll happen at the same time. When the U.S. farts, we grab toilet paper. Okay. When Islam starts that war, the result of that will be the purging of Islam from North America, because all the Ted Nugents in the U.S. are going to take care of that for us. And it's going to mean the collapse of the Canadian government, because it is thoroughly, completely, and utterly corrupt. Mm-hmm. And the collapse of what we're seeing already starting in the U.S. as far as investigations into people like Mueller and Sessions stuff that's going, that sort of thing. We'll see that whole corrupt deep state collapse during this street fighting war with Islam. And that's coming. Make no doubt about it, ladies and gentlemen. We have no choice. We won't start it. It will be brought to us just as it's being brought to the streets of Paris, France, Frankfurt, Germany, Melbourne, Australia, London, England. It's being brought to them, and it's being brought to Canada.
Well, those countries are getting close to a state of civil war, and you think that's a joke. I'm not joking. You just got to go look at it. Like I said, you can't rely on CBC or CTV or any mainstream media to actually tell you what's going on over there and what is their country coming to. I'm privy to talk to some people in Germany, Duke. I talked to a gentleman here on Wednesday this week that's in Munich, and he really laid it out to me what's going on in that country. And if you think it's bull, it's not, folks. This is really, really coming down. It's a point, he says, where German citizens are at a breaking point. And this gentleman was almost in tears. He can't believe what's happened to his country in the last 15 years. You hear the same thing wherever you go in Europe right now. We're in trouble, period.
My cousin lives, my mom's family is from England, okay? My mother is first generation born here. My grandparents were born and raised in England. I've been to England and visited my cousins. I have a cousin that lives in, her name is Karen. She lives in Leeds, England. And you may know the name Leeds from Tommy Robinson and all that stuff. She owns a B&B. Mm-hmm. And between her home and the B&B used to be about a 5 to 10 minute drive straight across town. In the years since, a Muslim no-go zone has been established, and it now takes her 45 minutes to get to work because she has to go all the way around the no-go zone. Now, just to give your listeners an idea of what's happening in England, Leeds is a city, I'd like to say about the size of Mississauga. I don't know how many people can relate to that. But anyhow, a family from Northern England came into Leeds, a mother, a daughter, and a grandchild, a boy, I think, but don't hold me to that. They came to Leeds to visit family from up north, never been in the city before. They crossed a main four-lane thoroughfare that is not a no-go zone on one side, but is a no-go zone on the other side. So as they crossed this four-lane road, like crossing Yonge Street in Toronto, one side of Yonge Street is okay, one side of Yonge Street is a no-go zone. This mother, daughter, and grandchild got 3.5 blocks into the no-go zone, and their car was shot until it stopped. They were all killed. The car sat there for a day and a half before police were allowed to come in and tow it out and recover the bodies. That stuff doesn't make it on the news.
Never will.
This is what's going on in England. Okay, you know, pip, pip, cheerio, foggy, shitty weather, have a cup of tea, bangers and mash, England. This is what's going on in England. You cross the road and get killed. And the police do nothing.
You know, and Duke, if people don't think that can happen here, then I really, really urge you to look at what's going on in Europe. They're 15 years ahead of us or 10 years ahead of us.
No, they're 2 years ahead of us.
Okay, maybe 2 years. I was going to say 10 years because they've been allowing a lot more immigrants in the last 10 years than we have, according to the numbers. But anyways, regardless of that, numbers 2 years, 3 years, it's going to happen here. It's the same thing is happening here that happened there. And if you think all these people that are coming into Canada have good intent or into the United States of America, I really urge you to do some research. Look at the Quran. Look at what they preach and what is going on with this cult called Islam and how it's being used to undermine our society. Go ahead.
If you're too lazy to do the research, open up YouTube, type in my name, Duke Willis. Go watch some of the videos I have of Tom Quiggin. Right. Tom is probably, unquestionably, Canada's number one authority on the condition of Islam and the practice of Islamification. I highly recommend anyone that wants to do any research into Canada and Islam to go listen to what Tom Quiggin has to say. And there, as I say, there's a number of his videos on my YouTube channel. Just type in my name, Duke Willis, W-I-L-L-I-S.
Thanks for providing that. I'm actually, I've only heard of him recently, and I'm going to go listen to a couple of these videos myself.
The other name I would like people to go and check, because I constantly get asked this, Duke, you're so quick to show us and point out what's wrong with things, but what do you have as a solution? My proposed solution is still in the process of being formulated. If you go to a site called Nephilim Films, a gentleman named Doug Force has created a very interesting site, and he's working on making a movie. Once that movie comes out, which is supposedly going to happen this fall, he will be including a format on how to hold constitutional conventions.
Mm. 5 people, all you need.
Yeah, all you need is 5 people and you hold a constitutional convention. But it takes a 6th person to be the one to say, okay, the 5 people here in St. Catharines, Ontario, now need to compare that paperwork to the 5 people in Quesnel, BC, and the 5 people in Medicine Hat, and the 5 people in Moose Jaw. Somebody has to bring that all together, even if it's just within one province, right? There has to be someone, and it has to be a uniform thing, too. So that's kind of why I'm holding off and waiting for Nephilim Films to possibly give us the sort of at least blueprint or initial drawings of a diagram that could show us how this will work.
Sounds really interesting, Duke, and you're going to have to keep me up to date on that, because anything at this point that's going to work and bring people attention to what's going on, I'm on board for 100%. I'm losing my voice here, man. It's the first radio show I've done in 10 weeks and I'm losing my voice. I'm pushing to get the vocal tones out, and I did have a glass of water, but I'm straining the old vocal cords here today a little bit. But we're down to our last 4 minutes, so why don't you give people information again where they can find you, and we'll close out the show.
Well, thanks, Barry. And Steve, thank you too, bud. I appreciate your work in the background. You make us sound good and you keep me connected when my crappy old computer crashes. For those of you that want to follow me and see a little bit more about where my perspective comes from, why I think the way I do and I say the things I say, in amongst all kinds of other junk on my Facebook profile, you can find a bunch of my videos on there. But I would highly recommend that you look for me on YouTube. You just type in Duke Willis in the search bar at the top of the YouTube page, and it should come up. I think I forget what my profile picture is on YouTube. I'd have to put it up to check it. You can also find me on Twitter at @Patriot_Duke. I don't do much on Twitter. I use it mostly for communication and staying up to date on other people who post on it and use it for a blog, kind of like a blogging, right? Anyone that uses Twitter knows that there's a lot of Twitter people who they'll post on it several times in order to get bigger message out, because you're limited in size and that sort of thing. So they'll follow people on Twitter in order to get multiple posts. Praying Medic is another source that I would recommend to people on YouTube, or prayingmedic.com. He's an excellent source for QAnon information. And another Canadian that I would recommend to people is a fellow named Billy Joyce. He's from the East Coast, and he does some excellent political commentary. If you're looking for other places to get other voices and hear other opinions, there you go. But yeah, you can find me on YouTube, and I'm hoping Barry will have me back on here.
You can bet your life on that, buddy. I'm going to have you back here in the next couple of weeks, and we'll carry on this conversation. I want to thank you for taking time today, Duke. I know you just walked in the door before you got on the air, and you were trying to balance time between eating your cheeseburger and fries and talking on the radio. You did a great job. So, thanks for joining me. And you know what,
Barry, before I take off here, I want to invite you to come and join me on my show tonight. I'm live on Facebook, 9 o'clock Ontario time, and it's a live cam show. So anyone who wants to bring their cam live, it's like a talk show format with live cam from 9 o'clock on. You go to Duke Willis on Facebook and look for the BeLiveTV/guest link, and you can come join the show.
Cool. Well, if I feel like my voice is coming back by then, I'll take some time and join you tonight, Duke. But I am kind of losing my voice, and I don't know why. But anyways, buddy, it's been great talking with you, and we will carry on this conversation in the very near future.
Thanks for having me on, bud.
Anytime, Duke. Anytime. It's been a great show today, guys. At least I think it's been a great show. I hope you bear with me. This has been my first time back on the air in a little while, and I feel a little bit rusty, but I'm sure I'll get all the bugs worked out here next week. Thanks for joining me today, and please join me again next week, the same time, same place. Thanks again to PIR for supplying this platform for me to share my thoughts and interview my guests. And again to my producer, Steve Roberts, for taking time out to make this happen for me. And to Sunshine, who also produces my memes and supports me. Thanks a lot, folks. And please donate to the network. We could really use the help. Have a great week, and I'll see you next week. God bless you all.